did Kingdom Life, and now the King is coming, and I'm preparing something called Kingdom Tension for January, February. So I guess we have a theme for the year. But the King is coming. It's expectation that Jesus is coming at Christmas, that he was born into this world. And last year, we looked at some of the prophecies in the book of Isaiah and how they prophesied the coming of the Messiah. This year, we're going to look more at the story surrounding the birth of Jesus. So today, we're going to look at the announcement, the angel announcing it to Mary. We're going to do this from the book of Luke, because he just has most of the stories recorded of all the four Gospels. He is in most detail the events around the birth of Jesus Christ. And so what we're going to do today is look at the announcement of the birth of the prophet that would go before Jesus, John the Baptist, and then the announcement of the birth of Jesus himself, that the angel coming to Mary. And the big question I want to ask you to ask yourself is this: am I ready for what God wants to do through me? Am I ready for what God wants to do through me? Now, we will look at two different people, Zechariah, who receives that first announcement, and then Mary. And I'm not going to do the scripture reading today myself. We have a special guest. It's Bruce. Why don't you come up here? He is a sort of, how do you say, actor, performance artist type of person.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, and you know the...
Made my living at it for 40 years.
Right, so yeah, okay.
Sort of an actor.
I should call him a pro then.
Yeah.
And he knows the Book of Luke by heart and is able to perform that. And why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself, and then you can do the scripture reading.
Okay, wow.
Reading, citing,
yeah.
Acting, yeah.
Yeah, I was an actor in New York City for years, and one of the performances I did was the Gospel of Luke for repertory theaters. And now I work with Youth with a Mission, Jeugd met een Opdracht, in a word by heart school, it's called, where people, regular people, not actors, learn a gospel in their own language, word for word, and present it as an eyewitness without memorizing. It's a 3-month school, and it's amazing. I mean, a guy in Nepal has the Gospel of Luke in Nepalese, the trade language, but he went back to his mountain village, and in instant oral Bible translation, he translated the gospel from Nepalese into his mountain village language. So now there's one less language that has the gospel in the world after a 3-month course. It's amazing. And yeah, there's no acting. It's just, what if you were there? What if you saw Jesus in that synagogue at Capernaum say to that guy, stretch your hand out, and you saw this guy with the withered hand stretch his hand out towards Jesus? How would you tell it to your friends? We have those eyewitness accounts in the Gospels. So this morning I get to do this piece. And it starts out, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the courts of Abia. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass, as he executed the office of the priesthood in the order of his course, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And it came, and all the people prayed without at the time of incense. And it came to pass, an angel of the Lord appeared at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. And fear came upon him. But the angel said, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife, Elizabeth, shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord, their God. And he shall go before him in the power and spirit of Elijah to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know these things? I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel said, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to show you these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day these things be performed. For thou believest not my words, which shall come to pass in their season. Now, the whole multitude waited for Zacharias, and they marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Oh, and when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision, for he beckoned to them, but remained speechless. And it came to pass, when the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And in the days that followed, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in upon her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. And Mary was troubled and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. For of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her into heaven. Amen.
Oh, wow. We should have this every week. All right. Maybe the people doing a skit should ask some advice afterward. Had a nice little cough going on there. All right. Okay, let's look at these two scenes in the Gospel of Luke. First, let's start off just considering a few things around the announcement of the birth of John. So what we need to know about this is that God had been silent for 400 years. John would be the first prophet speaking to Israel since Malachi. A lot had happened in between, but for some reason, God had stayed silent. Silent. Now, I don't know if you're ever frustrated with God staying silent in a time of difficulty. The people of Israel certainly went through a time of difficulty in this time, but I guess 400 years is really long for people to go through without a word from God, without a prophet speaking to them, applying the words of God to them. And oh, thank you, Callum. You're so nice. Yeah, that's good. But I think this wasn't really like the silent treatment of a partner that's a bit angry with you. But I think it's more a silence before the storm from God. Because John the Baptist would go before Jesus, kind of announce his coming, prepare the way for the Messiah. And then, of course, the storm of the Messiah would come and just change the whole game of the religion of Israel. Yeah, of course, we know that the rest is history. The rest we'd have to hear from Bruce how the story continues. Let's just look at two things. First, God just loves making the impossible possible. It's actually what the angel said to Mary, for with God nothing is impossible. So Zechariah and Elizabeth, they weren't the first people to go for so long without a child and then see a miraculous pregnancy. This story actually kind of resembles the story of Abraham and Sarah, where the whole gospel of salvation basically starts very early in the Bible in Genesis 12, when God calls Abraham and then he promises him that he would be the father of a great nation, that he would have many descendants. And Abraham's like, but we're already in our 90s and we don't have a child. How are you going to do this? How are you going to fix that? And they still had to wait for a long time and go through many different ways. And Sarah laughed at this announcement of God, but she got pregnant and they bore a son. And he would indeed become the father of many nations and of a great nation, nation of Israel, from which the Messiah would be born and salvation would spread throughout the whole earth. So I guess that sometimes God just wants to do a miracle to make clear that it's His doing, that it's not just a human thing that's going on. It's not just something that we make out of it, but it's Him doing it. It's Him making the impossible possible, just to announce that He's going to do something great, that He's going to do something new. Also here, God is clearly saying, I'm doing something new. It's me doing it. You will be the recipient of a beautiful personal miracle, of the fulfillment of a prayer for that you've prayed for many years. But also you have the privilege to raise up a man that will go before the Messiah, prepare his way, the greatest privilege, I guess, anyone could ever have. And also what John, his ministry would kind of be like what we do. We prepare the way for the Messiah. We prepare the way for him to do his work. But Zechariah responds with doubt. He's been praying for something for many years. Then his prayer is being answered. He gets a visit from an angel, but he responds with doubt in some way. I don't know if it was just a surprise, or you know, he was just still in fear, or maybe he had a secret faith crisis we don't know about. But he responds with doubt. How can I be sure of this? Okay. I mean, what a guy. Zechariah, I mean, how can I be sure of this? Well, Zechariah, let me explain you a few things. There are certain things that happen to a woman's body when she becomes pregnant. It's kind of obvious. She gets especially here in the tummy area, things will start to grow and you will see that she's pregnant. Secondly, you'll start to see some hormones flying around the room. That may be a sign to you as well. So how can I be sure of this? Well, kind of, wait and see, and it will be revealed to you. But the angel doesn't even respond to his sort of his male ignorance. But he goes to but he goes right to the second thing, saying, "Well, I'm an angel announcing this to you, so that may be reliable." It's like, I'm not just some random guy prophesying of you. I'm an angel bringing you a message from the Lord, so you can be sure that this is reliable. Now, Zechariah, he does get a sign, but not a cool sign, like Moses with his staff that turns into a snake, or Gideon with the animal skin that he lays out before the Lord, and it's wet in the morning. The dew it's wet with the dew, but the field around it not, and then the next day it's the other way around. And he doesn't get a cool sign. He gets a bit of a dumb sign. God mutes him, literally, and he can't speak for 9 months. Now, this may also just be great advice for a man with a pregnant wife, to just be like, just shut up for 9 months and you'll be fine. This may be God just putting in some very subtle advice for guys in the Bible. It could be. But maybe it was a bit more than that. It's probably a bit more than that. It's God again saying, I'm doing this. Just sit back and listen. Be silent for a while. And be expecting, listen to what, like, see what I'm going to do, listen to what I'm going to speak. Trust me, I will do what I promised. I'm doing something new. Not just for you guys personally, this is not just the fulfillment of a prayer for you. I'm going to do something new. I'm going to send my son, and he will make everything new. He will restore the nation of Israel. He will bless the nation of Israel. He will bring salvation to the nation of Israel and even beyond to the rest of the world. Now, let's look at the announcement of the birth of Jesus. And what is most striking, the two stories are somewhat similar. There's an angel that announces unexpected, and there's this whole promise. He names the child for the parents. First one, he shall be named John. The second, he shall be named Jesus, saying a lot about what their ministry would be like. But what is most striking is the scenes of these announcements are very different. First of all, Zacharias and Elizabeth were old, or well stricken in years, but they were dignified people. They were righteous people, according to Luke. They had been in service to God for all of their lives, and they served in the temple. It happens in Jerusalem. The announcement happens in the temple, kind of the most sacred place on earth at that time. It's the where you could say that where heaven and earth kind of touch. If you're going to get an angel visiting you anywhere, it's going to be in the temple. But the second announcement, and even more important announcement, is done in a very different setting. First of all, it's a young girl in Galilee, which is sort of a forsaken part of the country, and not very insignificant, and in a tiny little village. So the second announcement is done to an insignificant person in an insignificant village in an insignificant part of the country. But there, the angel appears with an even greater announcement that God would now send his son to save the world. You see, for God, no one or no place is insignificant. And again, God makes the impossible possible. Now, I don't think that there's, for God, there are no easy miracles or difficult miracles. It's just his intervention. It's not harder for him to make someone that's old, as old as Elizabeth, pregnant as it is to make sure that a virgin becomes pregnant. But this definitely is even more noteworthy. Like, I guess in that time, they could see very old people becoming pregnant as sort of, I guess God helped with that. This certainly is a noteworthy miracle. If a virgin becomes pregnant, that's of course impossible. Now, the miraculous conception of Jesus is absolutely unique in human history. You know, if God wanted to draw some attention to the birth of his of the forerunner of Jesus, then certainly to the birth of the Messiah. And the fact that Jesus was conceived in this way was not just to make it unique or to draw attention. It's crucial in our understanding about who Jesus Christ is. Jesus was 100% a man, born of a woman, and at the same time 100% God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is both the Son of God and he is the Son of Man. And only because of this, only because his unique identity, so to say, he was able to redeem humanity, to save them. Only in this way he could carry God's mission to the earth. Only in this way he could atone for sin. Only in this way he could reveal the Father to us. Jesus is the new move of God. He is the coming King. And Mary doesn't respond with doubt, but with faith and with obedience. Where this established man, this respected man, the guy that has been in service to God for all of his life, responds with doubt, this young girl from the middle of nowhere receives an even greater promise and a more complicated promise, mind you, with faith. I mean, there were no guarantees that, you know, her family or, you know, her husband-to-be would believe her story. We know now that an angel also appeared to Joseph when he was about to divorce her or send her away or at least, you know, leave her be. There was no guarantee for her then. Gabriel didn't say to her, like this is going to happen. By the way, I'm also going to pay a visit to your husband-to-be just to make sure that things are okay. She didn't have that promise. She responded with faith, though. She would also, it would have been very possible for her to be cast away from her community and to have to live life all by herself. But she responded with faith. She knew it was God speaking. God has this promise for me. God has this purpose for me. And I'm going to walk in faith because I know that I'll be okay. I know that if this is God speaking, I'll be okay. And so Mary displays this attitude, an attitude that God can really work with. I am your servant. May everything that you've said about me come true. This is something that God can work with. Now, let's translate this to our lives. Are you ready for what God wants to do through you? Are you ready for what God wants to do through you? Because he may be speaking something to you. He may be purposing you for something. He may be guiding you towards something. And my question to you is, are you ready for that? Are you ready for what he wants to do in you and what he wants to do through you? Are you ready for him to speak to you? Are you ready for him to carry out the special assignment that he has for you? However big or small that is, are you eager to hear from him, even though he's been silent for a while? Now, I want to give you three pointers, basically, to help you prepare for what God wants to do in you. And first thing we need to understand is that God carries out his plans through us. The announcements we've talked about changed the course of human history. It changed everything that we believe about God. God carries out his salvation plan first through John he prepared the way, but then certainly through Jesus Christ. But he uses so many human beings to make this happen. He does it through human beings, and that's so special. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, God has been determined to save humanity, but to use them in his salvation plans, to carry out his salvation plan through them, to use them in it, to announce it, to prophesy for it, to prepare for it, to do all these things through human beings. Now, God doesn't need us, but he's decided to use us. And that is why I think these stories are so significant for you and me as well, because they tell something about how God works and how we should respond to him beginning to move. So he wants to use you and me to carry out his salvation plans for others as well. He wants to use you and me to bear witness, to be a testimony, to reach out to other people and invite them to the International Christmas Celebration or the potluck dinner here, and so that they can hear the word of God. He wants to use you as just your life as a testimony. He wants to use you in many special ways. Are you prepared for this? Because here's the thing. God doesn't need you, but he's chosen to use you for his purposes in this world. And so for Zechariah, this meant a lifelong prayer being answered. But for Mary, it meant that her whole life would be turned upside down. Who was going to believe her excuse? Secondly, what I love about God is that he doesn't forget about the details. God doesn't forget about the details. Okay, ultimately, of course, the big picture matters. Certainly with what happened here. You know, he's sending his son to the earth to save them, to reveal himself to them. And Jesus is coming. This is a big picture matter. But in carrying out that plan, he doesn't forget about the details. He wanted to send a prophet, John, to prepare the way for Jesus and, you know, turn hearts towards God and kind of prepare the way for the Messiah. And so he's going to send his prophet. But then he lets him be born in a family that's been praying for a child for so long. Isn't it a beautiful thing of God that he just, like, if he's going to send his prophet somewhere, then with these beautiful people that have been waiting for this for so long, give them this privilege. He was going to send his son, and you know, he had to be 100% man and 100% God. So he's gonna do this through, you know, overshadowing a young woman, a virgin, so that it would be indeed from the Holy Spirit, but also human. And so he's gonna do that, but then he made sure to pair up Mary with a guy that could handle the situation, that would respond with respect and with faith, and would lay some of his own pride down and marry this girl that obviously got pregnant before they'd be married. And he didn't care what other people would think about that, but he had faith. Also, of course, after the angel came to him. But he God cares about the details. He doesn't forget about the small details. And so with this in mind, Mary could respond with those words, "May everything that you've said about me come true." Now, for Mary, there was no guarantee that her family would believe her excuse or that her future husband would understand this. She could have spent her whole life as an outcast, but with faith, she says, you know, if God is in this, I will not fear. If he's sending me, then I know that he'll supply for me as well. If God is calling me, then I'm going to consider myself privileged. If God is moving, I want to move with him. And this is the heart attitude that we need to have as well. When God is about to move, we need to move with him. Thirdly, when God speaks, listen carefully. When God is speaking to you, listen carefully. Isn't it interesting that the first thing that God does after a silence of 400 years is to mute a man? Isn't it interesting? The first thing he does after a silence of a period of 400 years is, okay, you are now dumb. Now, I don't think at all that this was maybe a little bit. This wasn't just a punishment for lack of faith. Like, I'm going to tease you now. I'm going to teach you a lesson. You're going to be dumb for 9 months until the baby comes. I think more that this may have been a prophetic illustration. If you've read through the Bible a little bit, you've come upon Jeremiah or Ezekiel, who also had to do sort of performance arts or street arts, a prophetic illustration. Ezekiel had to play out the battle for Jerusalem with the Babylonians, sort of to show people what was going to happen. Habakkuk had to marry a prostitute to kind of reveal to the people the jealousy of God but also the faithfulness of God, even though they were idolaters and they would worship other gods. So in many different scenes in the Bible, we see this prophetic illustration. I think that's what God was doing here with Zacharias as well. You're going to be silent for a while because I'm about to do something incredible. This is a silence before the storm. I'm going to do something new and I'm going to do something great. And all you can do is sit and watch what I'm doing and then you can respond. But you're going to be silent for a while. And I think when God is preparing us for something, when you know that God is preparing you for something, silence may be your best friend. Silence may be your best friend. Now, if you're like me, this is hard because I'm also like an external processor. So when God is doing something in me, I want to communicate with others about it. What do you think? What is this? And what is that? And like, I get my best ideas in conversations. But let's not forget about the silence, because when we're silent, it's like the Sabbath or it's like tithing. Like, we give something to God in faith that he will be able to multiply it. Like the Sabbath, as the first day of the week, so we give it to you. We're not going to do any work or study even when big things are coming up, I'm going to take a rest, trusting that you will use it to bless me, trusting you that you know what's best for me. And same thing we do with tithing. And in many different ways, we give our first and best to God, believing that he will use it to bless us, that he will speak to us, that he will, that it will be good for us. And I think silence may be similar in that. Like, okay, I know that you're doing something, God. It's not very clear to me yet, but I want you to speak to me. And instead of just going ahead, doing my own thing, asking you to cover me with blessing or something, or instead of just saying, okay, I don't really know what's going on, but let me just figure it out. No, we're going to, it sounds really good to just embrace that silence and wait on the Lord to speak to you. Wait on the Lord to make it clearer to you. Because in the silence, we can listen better. Shutting up for a while, maybe the best thing that we could do, because only when we hear what God is saying, then we can respond to what he is doing. And I believe that God wants to do beautiful things through you as an individual, through us as a church. So let's embrace a little bit of that silence right now. I want to ask the worship team up. They're going to be singing in a second, but as a way of prayer, let's be silent for a second and ask the Lord to speak to us. And after that, I want to ask the prayer team. This has been a while that we did it like this, but I want to ask the prayer team to move to the sides and be ready to receive people for prayer. I want to ask all of you to stand up, by the way. Let's embrace that silence for a minute. Ask God to speak to us. How do you want to use us? What do you want to do through us? And then we'll move on to worship and a time of ministry. Lord, thank you that you want to use us as well to carry out your plans. And we just want to say to you, here we are. Speak to us, Lord, and use us. Make clear the things that you've been talking to us about already. Make it clearer. Lord, help us to hear what you're saying.